going on, everybody? Happy Monday. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets powered by FTM right here on Game Plus Network. Chris Meaney hanging out with you on this Monday. Hopefully everybody had a fantastic weekend. We got a lot to talk about here on this show. There's a handful of games on the ice. Got some NHL picks and some props a little bit later on in the show. Going to dive into week two fantasy hockey rankings as well. Actually, just going to look at a few teams that play four games for the week. I'm going to do this consistently on Monday. If you're looking for all the goods, FTNFantasy.com. If you have the fantasy hockey package, you know that we're going to have waiver wire rankings articles every single week. And that's something I like to look at. It's still very, very early in the season. There's no need to be dropping guys, I don't think. Like, trust the process, I suppose. Trust the players that you drafted. Of course, if you're dealing with some injuries, you know, a Patrick Laine, you got to put on the IL, things like that. You know, you're going to have to make some moves. I don't think there's really been any significant injuries other than Patrick Laine, but we will take a look at the week two fantasy hockey waiver wire. Just a few teams that are playing four games. That's why I like to do the four game thing. It's almost like two starts in baseball. You want to get the most out of your ads. You got four ads for the week. I don't suggest using them all on a Monday. And again, it's very early in the season. Trust the players that you drafted. They're going to be fine. I don't think we need to cut bait on guys that have had 0 points in the first couple games of the season. It's a long season, but I still want to just share some options for people in our deeper formats. I always leave one or two spots that I like to stream on my roster, and it does kill me sometimes. Like, you know, I obviously don't want to draft any of those or drop any of those late round sleepers that I had, like Arturi Lehkonen or, I don't know, Mason McTavish. These guys, Matty Berniers, these guys have showed up early. Be patient with them and away you go. But I definitely like to have one, maybe my fourth defenseman is like a guy that I'm comfortable dropping. Just stream the position. Get a guy that's playing four games for the week that can block some shots and throw his body around and things like that. But FTNFantasy.com. Tyler, if you want to chuck this up one more time, I don't think we'll bring this up anymore. But people that are late on drafting, we do have the fantasy hockey package over at FTNFantasy.com. It's included in that package is rankings, all that good stuff. You know, best ball season is over in the NHL. But division previews, breakdowns, predictions. The biggest thing here is even if you missed on the fantasy hockey package and you want the weekly waiver wire stuff, you know, promo code Meaney, save yourself, you know, 20% off. I believe it's like $7.99. And I think there's a lot of value. You got the Discord channel in there as well. Always a great conversation happening. FTMbets.com. You can use the promo code Meaney, save yourself a little bit of cash there as well. Some people reach out over the weekend. They want the picks. They want the props on the weekends. That's how to get it. FTMbets.com/pricing, promo code Meaney. Get all the picks across all the sports, projections, tools, Discord channel. We have a Discord channel for every single sport. We're giving picks not only in the big four, but college sports as well. PGA, you know, it'll pick back up here once the calendar does turn to 2023, but still some golf, you know, picks to be had and money to be won over at FTNbets.com. Also, the DFS package. This promo is over October 21st, as you see there. $149.99. Man, my guy Kenneth Lee, who is a reigning DFS NHL writer of the year over at FSWA. I was very impressed with his content in the first week. Dude is, you know, he was putting in time and the articles were very, very informing. I love it. I love it. You guys know I'm a big hockey fan, but Lee is a great addition to the squad. Griffin Swanson's going to write this weekend. We got Javi Perlezzo writing myself as well. I will have the DFS article today over at FTNDaily.com. It's like, you see there the content, the exposures, cheat sheet. We have like a really cool tool with all of our DFS sports. Where, yeah, we're not just writing up guys like, oh, play this guy, play that guy. We'll show you the exposure we'll have to, you know, our stacks and to players that we like for this evening. Like the Penguins are massive favorites here against the Canadiens. No Jake Allen tonight. It's easy for me to say, yeah, you know, just play Crosby and, you know, Gensel, all those guys. But we'll show you the percentage of what we'll have with those guys. For example, like if I'm playing 10 lineups tonight and, you know, Crosby's in there at 60%, then he's going to be in six of 10 of my lineups. And if you're just new to DFS, another cool thing that we're doing over at FTNDaily.com is three free day trials. Again, free, test the waters for 3 days, see what it's all about across all the sports, right? We have NFL, we have NFL Optimizer, the NBA tips off this week as well, NBA Optimizer. We're not there yet for hockey, but we do have a PGA Optimizer as well. So we have you taken care of for all the sports, you know, a ton of articles and content and Discord stuff in there as well in that package. But if you're just, you know, that's a lot of money, you don't want to do it for the year, you can sign up for the month, but you could just, why not try it out for free? for 3 days and see exactly what we have to offer over at FTNDaily.com. And I think we'll be doing some free 3-day trials over at FTNBets.com too, if you're looking to get your feet wet and see what it's all about. I understand that can be very intimidating, but we're here to help. And that's what those Discord channels are there for as well. Talk bankroll management, help you guys, you know, with some of your lineups. And we're always around to answer any questions, you know, the whole team over at FTN. So a lot of cool things happening over at FTN Bets Daily and fantasy.com. And if you have any questions at all, leave them here in the YouTube section. Watching the replay, you're watching on Game Plus Network, you can hop on over. This show is also available on iTunes and Spotify, wherever it is you listen to your favorite podcast. And the DMs are open. Slide on in at Chris Meany on the Twitter machine. So we do, like I said, have a lot to get to today. A ton of action on the ice. We have Monday Night Football, Broncos and Chargers tonight. What does everybody need? I selfishly need Sutton and Russ to kind of cook here tonight. And I'm sick of saying it because he hasn't cooked and he's looked awful on primetime. We have another primetime Russ game. Let's go. Throw a couple touchdowns, hopefully a couple to Sutton. Love to hear what you need. We got some props and some picks for tonight. I was on the Broncos earlier in the week, +6.5. It's now 4. I feel like the Chargers win this game. Division game, I think it's going to be low scoring. The Broncos defense has been great. Just talking about Russ, how awful he's been on primetime this year. You know, the Chargers can't stop the run. So is it going to be a heavy, you know, dosage of Gordon and Boone? Maybe you see a little bit of Latavius sprinkled in there as well. Russ has been running lately himself. We do have some picks and some props. I'm kind of leaning towards the Chargers at the current spread at 4, but that 6.5 is something that, you can't get anymore, but I do believe it's the game's going to be decided within a touchdown of each other. We have game 5 tonight at Yankee Stadium between the Pinstripes and the Cleveland Guardians. I got a pick and a prop for that game a little bit later on. The Astros are awaiting the winner of tonight's game, and then the Phillies and the Padres in the NLCS. Fantastic stuff over the weekend. I mean, I'm sick of seeing the same teams, right? I know I called the Astros to win the World Series. I want to be wrong. I don't want them to win. I'm sick of the Astros, and I'm sick of the Dodgers. So I was happy to see them get bounced. Padres and Phillies. What a great weekend in Philadelphia at Citizens Bank. Was bumping with the Phillies with the 2 wins. That Hoskins, that was a spike. That wasn't a bat flip. That was a touchdown Gronk spike. That was awesome, that 3-run shot over the weekend. Phillies get by the Braves. Eagles are still perfect, 6-0, as they spank the Cowboys at the link. So pretty good weekend, I think, for Philly Nation. And the Flyers, I think the Flyers are off to a 2-0 start. Oh my goodness, what is happening in Philadelphia? We're going to break. Any questions, hit me up. We'll kind of touch on the waiver wire just a little bit. I think Tuesday's episodes are probably best for waiver wire. We'll touch on it, but I'll give some rankings and things like that. And tomorrow we'll look at the teams that are on buys. We'll help people out with quarterback streams, defense streams. Got a couple injuries to monitor. J.K. Dobbins certainly is one. We'll touch on all that stuff in just a little bit. I see some people hanging out. Yes, Tyler A., Wandell Robinson worth a pickup? Absolutely. I think we mentioned it on this show last week. I know for sure we did with Jake Seeley. We talked about him and Thornton of the Pats being really good stashes. I'm sure we mentioned it. It's okay if we didn't, but absolutely. I agree with this comment here from Tyler. They drafted him, I believe, in the 3rd round. I trust Brian Daboll. How could you not? Coach of the year to start. The coaching has been phenomenal in New York. We talked about the difference that we would see this week. I can get into it to a larger standpoint in just a few minutes, but there was no coaching last year in New York, right? 3rd and 8 on their own 8, quarterback sneak. Couldn't find a way to make Saquon, they couldn't find a way to use him. Like, it's crazy the difference what coaching does. Yes, Saquon is healthy, but it's still a very mediocre offensive line. They did some things in the draft. They still don't have any weapons to throw the football to, but it's coaching. It's not just Daniel Jones dropping back, 70% of the time. It's, it's end arounds. It's, RPOs, read option, rollouts. I think he's got the highest completion percentage of his career. I still think he's got 1 foot out the door, but what Brian Daboll is doing with this Giants team is very, very impressive. A big W on home field yesterday against the Ravens. They got after Lamar. They made it happen defensively, but when the game was on the line, they made it happen as well. And they found a way to get him involved. Whether it was an end around here or there, he's a very tiny player. He's kind of still think he's a gadget guy, but they don't have a lot of mouths to feed there in New York, and he is healthy, and yeah, absolutely think he's worth a pickup. Well, tomorrow I think we'll have some rankings and stuff like that. We do got a break. As I mentioned, a lot to get to here on this show. We'll answer any of those questions that you guys have Lots to get to. Lots of sports happening here in the middle of October. We'll be back in a couple. Keep her locked. Welcome back in. So we have four teams on bye this week. We don't officially turn the page on week six. Of course, we'd have Broncos and Chargers, and we'll have some picks and some props for that. Again, I'd love to know what you guys need here tonight. I always find that exciting. Do I need this? Do I need that? It's like questions that can't be answered when you get them sometimes on social media or here on the show. But I get a kick out of it. I like it, right? It's all fantasy. It's all fun. I like to hear what people need and things like that. It's, you know, you get the random question, you know, I need Mike Williams for 24.2 points. Do I get it? Do I not? It's like, oh, that's pretty tough. I don't think you're going to get it. But there are four teams on bye here. So I see some people asking some questions already on streamers. We can touch on that since you guys are here hanging out. And we do appreciate you guys taking the time here on this Monday to do so. Philadelphia's on bye, right? So you need to replace a couple wide receivers, a tight end, Jalen Hurts. Minnesota's on bye, or you need to replace Justin Jefferson, Cook. Even Cousins is a top 12 quarterback. Buffalo, of course, Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs. There's a lot going on there in Buffalo and the Rams and Cooper Kupp. So, man, you are, off the top of my head here, that's like three of the top three wide receivers, right? In Diggs and JJ and Kupp. And then, you know, AJ's been really good. So we got a lot happening here in terms of, you know, replacing some guys. So I have Josh Allen in one league. I have a lot of Jalen Hurts. I picked up some guys last week. If I could give a piece of advice when it comes to fantasy football, it's to plan ahead. It's not to be, you know, competing here on the waiver wire. Like, for example, if you haven't planned ahead here and nobody else has, you got a Hurts owner, you have a Cousins owner, You have a Josh Allen owner. You have a bunch of like guys, like top tier wide receivers. Everyone's competing now for, you know, the quarterbacks, you know. So I don't know if your league has a, you know, priority order or you have some fab. Hopefully you have some fab. You can spend up on some guys. But I tried to plan ahead a couple weeks ago knowing that this would happen this week. I have a lot of Jalen Hurts and, you know, it's not pretty, but I got some Jimmy G. You know, people may have dropped Trevor Lawrence. We talked on the show to be patient with Trevor Lawrence. You know, that game a couple weeks ago in Philadelphia was awful weather. It was brutal. It was raining the entire time. And what do we know about the Eagles? I mean, the defense is legit. Like, it's a really good squad over there. And then just an outlier game overall against the Texans, divisional matchup. You know, Houston had, you know, has played Jacksonville tough over the past couple of seasons. It was just, I just think it was a bad game. You know, he's still a young quarterback. You know, Doug Peterson is still learning as a head coach, even though he does have a Super Bowl win and he's still on a new squad. It was just, there was a lot of weirdness in that game that didn't really stack up to what they had done all season long. And then yesterday, we saw Trevor Lawrence with a passing touchdown. He was extremely efficient, 20 for 22. He didn't have a lot of yards, but he was efficient, which is a positive for me. And, you know, he's starting to run a little bit more as a quarterback. What we know from him in Clemson, the body, he's just like a great body type for a quarterback. He's a big boy. He's got a cannon of an arm and he can run, right? And we're starting to see that. We started to see it towards the end of last season, I guess, as he was getting a little bit more comfortable. And we're seeing it here over the past couple weeks, 4 for 29, 6 for 23 yesterday, 2 rushing touchdowns. I noticed it. Yeah, last week we talked about it. Travis Etienne was the gap. It was like he was closing the gap between him and Robinson. It was kind of his backfield last week. And then yesterday as well. You know, we're still seeing James Robinson sprinkled in some first and second down, you know, plays, goal line stuff. I saw him, you know, goal line. They did a wildcat direct snap back. Travis Etienne almost got him killed. Wouldn't suggest doing that anymore, Dougie. But what we did see was Trevor Lawrence call his own number inside the red zone. And I mean, why wouldn't you, right? It's like Jalen Hurts. I mean, yesterday they did it a couple times. It's 3rd and 1, 4th and 1. Everybody knows what's happening and good luck stopping the quarterback sneak when a guy like Jalen benches like 600 pounds. He's a beast with his legs. And the same thing here with Trevor Lawrence. I mean, he's 6'6", I believe. He's a big boy, so he can kind of tuck and run and get those yards. I think he's had a pretty good season as well. He's a top 12 quarterback. But yeah, his ownership looking at 65%. You know, Jameis, I'm not trusting Jameis. Even if he plays, I think if you're in a super flex league, you know, as long as he gets the start, I think he could be the second quarterback. You still have Taysom, Andy Dalton as of right now. Geno's probably scooped up everywhere. But Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, in a matchup here against the Chiefs, you know, Jimmy threw the ball 41 times yesterday, and that's not the recipe for success when it comes to this Niners team. They didn't have a lot of success running the football. Atlanta got up big, and they forced Jimmy to drop back and chuck. And it's not ideal when that is the case, and it probably will be the case this week again against, Kansas City. You know, Kansas City, even in a tough matchup against the Niners and good defense, but, you know, if Atlanta can put up 28 points, I think the Chiefs can put up 28 points here against the Niners and maybe force Jimmy to throw the ball a little bit more. But, you know, 14 points, 18 points, 18 points, that's not awful. It's not bad. His ownership is 39%. So that's been the guy that I'm rolling with. And then you have Marcus Mariota, I guess, in deeper formats. There's a little bit of a rushing upside to his game. You know, it's not spectacular. His performances, I mean, just came off a 24-point showing, which was his best mark of the season. But, I mean, look at, you know, he's got one dud game, 4 points. Obviously, that's going to kill you. That was against the Browns. But 19, 15, 16, 17, and 24, a matchup in Cincinnati against the Bengals, it's not awful. You know, you hope that Burrow has a game like yesterday and he's able to push the pace, put some points on the board, and it forces Mariota maybe to hook up with Pitts in London. Shout out Pitts. I finally had a touchdown, but still only had 19 games. So those are two quarterbacks that it would be taking a look at. Jacoby Brissett against Baltimore, and Baltimore is not a great spot. You know, you're really rolling the dice with Fields in New England against the Pats. Kenny Pickett in Miami, is he going to, you know, clear concussion protocol? Things like that. But you may have to dig a little bit deeper. Tua, maybe double check with Tua. Teddy Bridgewater. You know, all signs out of Miami is that Tua is going to be ready to go this weekend. We'll see. They probably should have started Teddy yesterday when Thompson went out. Was it Skyler? Sky? When he went Skyler. When he went out of the game, Teddy was just like slinging it. I think he almost had 400 yards and basically a half of football. Check to see if anybody dropped Derek Carr, you know, coming back off the bye week. That's interesting. But I think my go-to guys would be Jimmy and maybe Daniel Jones against Jacksonville, right? Nothing spectacular, you know, sitting around the average of 15, 16 fantasy points. Got a little bit of rushing upside there for you. So those are the quarterbacks I would get into. Do we have any questions here before we really do break? So Kyle Woods up for the top. Jameis, if ready, or Mariota week 7 bye week fill-in. Also expected more out of Pickens. Okay, yeah, Wandell worth a swap. Yeah, so we talked earlier. You know, Warren, I'm seeing some people stash Warren, and we talked about potentially stashing him, but what's the upside? I don't know. Like, the offensive line is not great. This team is not really moving with football. Credit to them. I mean, they beat the Bucs yesterday. My big takeaways from the week, from just an NFL standpoint, forget fantasy and even betting, is the Packers are brutal. They're completely overrated. How many times have we said that on this show with the Packers? Like, it's just week in and week out with this Packers team. Last year, they won a bunch of games. They had home field advantage, and they couldn't do anything against the Niners. It was a bad weather game. This is going to be the case at Lambeau. We make excuses all we want. But this Packers team, ever since they won the Super Bowl a few years ago, they win in the regular season. They don't win the playoffs, and now they just look completely lost all over the place. Rodgers has got no mobility. He's getting rocked. They're not using their running backs still as much as I would like them to use their running backs. They just don't look good. The Bucs, they'll be fine. They're going to make the playoffs. Nobody's going to want to face Brady and the Bucs, but they don't look good either. Who else? The Rams? Am I impressed that the Rams beat the Panthers? They were trailing, I think, in the fourth quarter of that game yesterday against PJ Walker, who had like, what, negative one air yard. He had like one fantasy point. I'm not impressed really with that win. Yeah, you got Allen Robinson involved. They still don't have a good offensive line and no real run game. So those teams, and I like them coming in. I thought Tampa and the Rams, I think my exact wording heading into the season that I would be shocked if one of those two teams weren't playing in the NFC Championship game. And I still think I would be shocked. But this is the time of the season where we're into week 7 now, pretenders, contenders. We get a good feel of who is legit in the NFL and who's not. And the NFC East looks great. Yeah, the Eagles look great on both sides of the football. I think the biggest thing for me when I look at the Eagles is they just dominated the line of scrimmage, whether it's the offensive line, you know, that front that they get pressure off on the quarterbacks, you know, created a couple turnovers yesterday, Cooper Rush. Dallas does look good too. You know, Cooper Rush, nice story. Great. Let's be honest. Dak gives them a higher ceiling offensively to move the ball. And maybe that game is definitely different, I'd say, you know, with Dak under center. It's a tighter ball game. And then the Giants look good too. They really do. They look good defensively. They've beaten some good teams. So it's not like you look at the Eagles like, who have they beat? They're not playing any good quarterbacks. So you can make an excuse for their start and their excuse for Dallas without Dak. But the Giants, like, what's the excuse here? They're just playing good football. Defensively, they're playing good. Talked about the coaching. Daniel Jones is playing great. Saquon is he's a beast. He might arguably the best player in the NFL through 7 weeks here of the season. So, Kyle, long-winded there. I would get Rondell. I think it's worth it. And I think there was another Wandell question too, Tyler. If you have that, you can check it up. There it was. Better stash. I think the guy who has the highest ceiling of those guys is Jameson Williams. It has to be, right? I mean, Alabama guy, stretch the field, explosive, big playability. I think he's the better stash. I think he's got the higher ceiling. There's also a little bit of a risk there. You know, he's by the time we see him, he's probably on a pitch count. He's still a rookie. There's a lot going on there. You expect DJ Chark to potentially be healthy by that time. Amon-Ra, Swift healthy, potentially, you know, Hawkinson. So there's a lot going on there. I believe Jameson's the higher ceiling, but Robinson's really close to me. Kadarius, I've been down the road with Kadarius. He just can't stay healthy. You know, one hamstring, the other hamstring, he just can't stay healthy. I think if you are looking for a potential league winner, it's probably Jameson Williams. I think if you're looking for somebody to start very soon, within a couple weeks, it's probably Wandell Robinson, and that would be it. We're going to break. We'll come back. Mr. Nice Guy, appreciate that message. Hope you hit a 5-prop parlay tonight. Yesterday was the birthday, but we do appreciate it. I am a little sluggish here today, not going to lie. Had a few pops, sat back and watched the birds crush the boys, and it was great. It was a great Sunday night. It was a great birthday. Appreciate all the love and support from everybody. We want to get some winners on this show. So we're going to continue the football talk, and then we'll get into some picks. Got some picks around the diamond, on the ice, and for tonight's Monday Night Football game as well. And also going to take care of some people that are playing some fantasy hockey. Got some waiver wire stuff for you as well. So keep your lock. We'll be back in a couple. Welcome back in Mean Streets here live on Game Plus Network, our FTN Network YouTube page, listening on iTunes and Spotify. Smash the like button, rate, review, subscribe. It would do us a solid here over at FTN. So going to continue to roll through some questions and then probably break and then get into some picks and things like that. So where were we? You know, the thing with Elijah, with Rondell, just get into him a little bit more. And I know I'm not breaking any news here, but there's really nothing going on in New York. Yesterday we saw Wandell play 15 snaps. He ran a route on 11 of those snaps and he had 4 targets. I think that's pretty significant. I think it's also significant that the team, their first pick that Daboll and company from a wide receiver standpoint was Wandell Robinson. He's a creative play caller. I know he's not, he has his handprints all over it. I know he's not calling plays, but he's all over it. And he did some great things, of course, with Josh Allen over the past couple of seasons, bringing in some talent. And that's when really Josh Allen took off. Like, credit to Daboll, but he took off when they brought in Stephon Diggs, right? When they brought in Cole Beasley, they brought in terrific route runners, guys that are great after the catch. And I think Wandell's one of those guys. Now, again, what Jake said on his show this morning, All in Football, you can catch in Game Plus. Also go back and watch it on our FTN Network YouTube page. He's a big Giants guy. We talked about Wandell on our network on draft day when the Giants drafted him, and he's kind of a gadget guy. He's like a 150 soaking wet. He's not a big guy, but when he's on the field, clearly they're going to find a way to get the ball in his hands, whether it's, you know, a quick little screen bubble, some end around stuff like that. I think he's definitely worth the stash. And just taking a look at, you know, some of the players yesterday for the Giants, like Darius Slayton, 44 snaps, 3 targets. Marcus Johnson, 39 snaps, 4 targets. David Sills, Richie James. These guys are playing like 20 snaps, 4 targets combined. There's really nothing. These guys don't have a high ceiling. Like Slayton, I guess, is okay. But there's an opportunity here for Wandell. I don't think I'm starting him this week, but he should be stashed. He should be picked up. And as we mentioned last week, he's one of those guys that, you know, is coming back very soon. And certainly should be on your radar. As for Elijah Moore, kind of cut bait with him last week. It was when we brought up those Jets wide receivers, all 3 of them. I don't feel great starting any of them. Like they're really good players. Corey Davis has a ceiling. He's, you know, he's used inside the red zone. He has a couple touchdowns. Just a little bit of a rapport there with him and Zach Wilson. Garrett Wilson, you know, obviously we saw his upside. It was with Joe Flacco, but we saw it. And then Elijah Moore. Elijah Moore played the second amount of snaps. He ran the second amount of routes on the team, but he's 0 targets. And again, this is something we chatted a lot about at the start of the season. Like Elijah had a great year. Corey Davis was hurt, and there was really nothing else there. Now you got a guy in Garrett Wilson. There's all of a sudden three wide receivers to feed. And what I've noticed with the Jets, another, you know, New York team that's playing really good football, skilled players on both sides. Sauce Gardner is a stud. He's a baller. I love the cheese hat at Lambeau. Like, yeah, I love it. I'm here for that. What I've noticed is that Breece Hall is the engine of this team. Right? They are using him, and he is continuing to see an uptick every single week in snaps and carries, and he's getting targets out of the backfield. He's overtaking Michael Carter. This is a team, a run-first team, using both backs, and there's no clear number one wide receiver. Elijah could have six targets, five grabs, 80 yards. I wouldn't be shocked. You can have another donut. It could be Corey Davis who has a donut this week. These Jets wide receivers are really tough to trust. If you're in a 10 team, you cut Elijah. You're in a 12 team, I still think you could probably cut Elijah. But we will get into some injuries. We will get into some bye week stuff. I just don't think we'll see Elijah really be worthy of a start until, you know, unfortunately, I don't even want to say it, right? But until one of those guys go down, like a Corey Davis or a Garrett Wilson, and then, you know, the clear cut number two and things like that. What else do we have here? Lee Ving in the house. Go Sharks. Okay, go Sharks. Am the Artist, what's up? Chris, you have commercials now doing big things. I see. Love it here. Yeah, we do. We do have some commercials here on the show for those that are watching live on our FTN Network YouTube page. Sometimes George likes to throw in that that golf commercial. I don't know if you've ever seen that. Am the Artist would get a really good kick out of that. Hi, I'm Chris from Greenwood commercial, which I'd never want to see again. Kyle Woods need Mike Williams. It's not fumble five times. Okay. All right. So you're up and you got Williams. I take it. Need Eckler to get nine. I think we can see nine. Yeah. I think we could see nine. Need Eckler to, so sub nine. Is that it? I need Eckler to bust. Eckler and Herbert to bust. Okay. You need some things here. Yeah. You need some things for sure. Any Atlanta RB worth it? Looks like eight touch committee. That's a good question. Early on in the game, it looked like Caleb Huntley. And then towards the end, we saw a little bit of Tyler Allgeier. I still think Allgeier is the guy with the higher ceiling. He is the guy that played the most snaps. He's the guy that had the most routes run and carries. I think he was one off Caleb Huntley, actually. Yeah, 16 here for Huntley, 15 for Allgeier, 12-2 the routes run in favor of Allgeier, 33 snaps to Huntley's 20, courtesy of FCN. We have snap counts and things there like that. But I noticed that Huntley was getting some red zone work, right? It was kind of split, but he was on the field getting some red zone work. And then you still have, you know, Marcus Mariota as well. It's pretty crowded, Lee. And then, you know, potentially Cordero comes back here in a couple weeks. You know, I would play Allgeier over him, but it does look like a committee with a running quarterback and a weak offense. So there's not a lot to get excited about. I don't think Allgeier really did anything. No, he didn't. He didn't even have a target. Neither of these backs had a target. It was Avery Williams who had one target there. So it's not great. What do we got here? Kyle, Lee, running back depth is key. You can leave the stuff on your waiver wire. I think, you know, if we're picking up a guy, you know, for depth, I think it's Allgeier. Kyle Woods, who do we think plays QB for Washington if Wentz is out? I think, that's tough. I would say it's Howell, right? I don't think they'll go with, is there any news on this, Sam Howell on the fly? I thought he was brought up in a presser not that long ago, a couple weeks ago. Ron Rivera's calling, you know, quarterback and taking shots at Wentz and things like that. And then he's getting ticked off after the Thursday night football game. I saw he got, you know, he was frustrated with certain things, but I don't know. I think if they fully got away from Wentz and they were like, you know what, Wentz, that's it. You know, we saw enough. Let's put in the guy under center that we drafted. Good quarterback class coming up. They've had 13 different quarterbacks since Kirk Cousins, I think, in 2017. He's not wrong. Like, the reason the organization hasn't been able to take that step forward is because of the quarterback play. It's not because of Carson Wentz. It's because of all the quarterbacks that they've had over the past couple of years. I think if they were to officially turn the page from him, they would go Howell. But if he's hurt and he's not playing, I think the best chance to win a football game this week against Green Bay would be Taylor Heinicke. I'm just speculating here. I think it could be Heinicke. Austin, trade James Robinson and Juju for David Montgomery. No, I don't think so. You know, really starting to see Etienne overtake that backfield. So that certainly is a concern. You are getting the better running back in Montgomery, but you are giving up Juju. A good game from Juju. Something I was definitely wrong about. I certainly thought that MVS would have the better game, but you know, it's maybe it's just taking a little bit of time for Mahomes and company. He's got three new wide receivers, right? I mean, he's got Sky Moore, he's got MVS, he's got Juju. You know, there's been some adjustments, certainly, you know, adjusting with life without Tyreek Hill. Say that five times fast. I don't even know if that sentence made any sense. But Juju is a guy that I would hang on to this. Robinson and Juju. If you are perfectly fine, Austin, at the wide receiver position, Juju's not touching your roster. You're stacked at wide out. You drafted a couple guys, you know, mid to late. You got some studs. You want an upgrade at the running back position. You're rolling out Robinson as your RB2 or your flex. You want an upgrade. I can get behind it. And the artists have believed to love it. Kyle Woods. And yes, I said WFT. Okay. I think that's it. Again, tomorrow we'll roll through more quarterback streams, things like that. I could look at defense here on the fly. This is something that I'd usually take a look at tonight to prep for tomorrow. Your waivers are not going to run tonight. You're going to have some time, but New England is a defense that I've picked up in a couple spots, 3 weeks in a row with double digit points, 13, 22 and 11. They got 6-7 sacks over the last couple of games. They get 17 sacks overall. They get a pick in every game but one. They actually have a fumble recovery in every game but one. I don't know how much they can keep that up, but I really like the schedule moving forward. They got Chicago in week 7. They got the Jets in week 8. They got the Colts in week 9. They got the bye, maybe worth hanging on to. You get the Jets again, week 11, and then it gets tough. You know, you got some Buffalo in there and the Bengals, but they're a defense I would consider streaming. Miami this week against Pittsburgh is a defense I would consider streaming for sure. And then the Raiders, our defense is definitely widely available. They haven't been getting a ton of sacks. They do have 3 in each of their last 2 games, but they're going to have a matchup against the Texans. And then the Bengals. The Bengals defense hasn't been spectacular, but it's all about the matchup. You get Atlanta this week and you get Cleveland in week 8, and then you get Carolina in week 9, by out of the bye Pittsburgh. So you may hang on to them for 4 weeks or so. That's certainly a defense. And then, you know, people were not really rostering Dallas. I've seen the ownership jump up a little bit, but this is a really good defense, guys. 4 more sacks yesterday. They got 24 total. They got Detroit and Chicago this week before the bye. People will drop them in that bye, and I would, you know, pick them up. They got some playmakers. Obviously, Parsons is an absolute beast and get off. He can really get after the quarterback. Is this Kirk rest of the season? I'm not sure what that means. I'll think about it in the break. Hopefully I have an answer for you. We're back in a couple. We got picks for the rest of the show. Stay tuned. You know what I thought, Lee? That was Christian Kirk. I don't think this is him the rest of the season. The last 3 games have been bad. I referenced that Philadelphia game a couple weeks ago. It was sloppy weather. He had a bunch of drops. He still had 9 targets in that game. But I was wondering, you know, where's Kirk, right? I certainly wondering that a couple weeks ago in the matchup against Houston. We only had 3 targets, and yesterday only had 5 targets. But he did have a touchdown. He kind of saved your day. Wow, people are dropping him. 1% ownership negative on the negative side. I think that's just people in 8 and 10 team leagues. I wouldn't drop this guy. I still view him as a wide receiver too. I really do. I still think he's the go-to guy inside this offense. I'm a fan. You know, maybe he's not what we saw earlier in the season. You know, 6 for $1.17, 6 for $78, 6 for $72. He had 3 touchdowns in his first 3 games. Maybe he's more like a 6 to 7 average target guy, 50 plus yards. And obviously he does have upside for touchdowns. I mean, he's got 4 touchdowns here to start the season through the first 6 weeks. You know, schedule is fine moving forward. You know, there's going to be some games where they got to throw a little bit more, you know, matchup here against KC, matchup against the Raiders. I think the Raiders would be able to push the pace, score some points against them. I'm still fine with Kirk. I view him as a buy low for sure. And the artist, you got some hockey stuff. Certainly leave it there. We'll get to it in a second. I got some props and things like that. For tonight, Monday Night Football, I mentioned earlier, you know, the Chargers opened up the week at 6.5. I jumped on that Broncos 6.5. I know it's risky, probably sweat that out. I am feeling the Chargers on the current spread. I do believe it's four. And I would lean overall with the under. Man, it's really changing. I don't think you can get 46.5 anymore. Wow, it is. It gets to a point where maybe you just stay away. I view this as like a 23-20 game. I think the Chargers win 23-20. That's kind of right at that number. I would go under that. If it gets to like 44.5, I wouldn't. You know, you missed the 46.5. I think it was even 47. midweek. And then the spread, just want to check. Yeah, 4.5. So it's, you get some fours out there. I could get behind the Chargers at four, you know, if you're in a pool and you got to pick and you want to pick. But I think the way to go is some props. And hopefully we can have a really good Monday here. And let's lead with, I think my favorite prop in this game is Mike Boone of the Denver Broncos running back here. Over 26.5 rushing yards, minus 118 over at Bet Rivers. And for Mike Boone, I mean, he racked up 38 rushing yards on 7 carries last week. He had 20 on 3 attempts in week 4 in what was a very, very small role. And in week 5 was, you know, 30 snaps on offense was 41% of the snaps. You know, Gordon has really struggled to take care of the rock. And I think they may have something here with Boone. I think we'll see Latavius potentially sprinkled in a little bit as well. But this is also Melvin Gordon with the fumbles. Boone trending up, deserves a little bit more playing time. There was a drive last week where he kind of got the drive going with 3 or 4 really solid runs. And then Wilson threw the pick inside the end zone. They didn't stick to the run. But it is partly Boone closing the gap potentially on touches and snaps with Gordon. And also the matchup. Let's be honest about the Chargers. They haven't been able to stop the run in each of the past couple seasons. They're allowing 130.4 rushing yards per game this season inside the top 10 and a league high 5.8 yards per carry this season. So if Boone is going to flirt with double digit carries again, which I think he could, I think he can get maybe 7-8 carries here. He's certainly somebody that I think could get to 27, 28 rushing yards. Heck, he could do that on 1 or 2 runs, the way that this rush defense in LA has played over the past couple of years. So I'm definitely in on Boone. A couple other props that I have here for today. It is kind of heavy Broncos. There's really only one Charger prop that I would like, that I like, and it's actually Austin Eckler for rushing yards. But Tyler, if you want to check this up for the people, you see heavy Denver. I know it's like, what? This team has looked so bad. But Cortland Sutton has just been a beast to start the season. He's my guy. We've been doing this every single week. He has at least 72 yards in 4 of his first 5 games, double-digit targets in 3 of those games, at least 7 targets in every contest here with the Broncos. He leads the team in air yards. Target share at 28%. His air yard share is 39%. He's got a healthy 12.35 ADOT. So I'm in on the yards more so the catches. The catches are a little bit juiced, but you want to do maybe you can do a same game parlay and go Cortland Sutton catches and yards that way. Just take one or each of them as singles if you wanted to, but I like the yards more than the catches. And then Russell Wilson wasn't running around his first couple games. He only had 5 yards on 3 attempts in his first 2 contests, but the last couple games he's been running. He's got 68 rushing yards on 14 attempts, 22, 29, and 17 rushing yards. You know, talked about the Chargers run defense. If he can't get anything going, you know, with Sutton and Jerry Jeudy, we could see him, you know, tuck and run. He can get to this on, you know, one play for sure. And then I got Mike Williams, the under 70.5 receiving yards. Mike Williams is very boom or bust. He's been good without Keenan Allen. But Sertan is a guy that I have a lot of respect for. You saw what he did a couple weeks ago to Michael Pittman, and then Pittman last week yesterday definitely, you know, bounced back and showed up. Sutton has the ability to take away a wide receiver. It could be a Joshua Palmer day. It could be, you know, Austin Eckler catching 5 or 6 passes into the backfield. Jared Everett sprinkled in here. So I'm leaning with the under on Williams and the under overall, just because, you know, we haven't seen a lot to like from Denver, you know, offensively. It's just been Sutton. So if Russ struggles again on primetime and he's only, you know, throws a touchdown, they only get to 17 points or so. I think their defense is good enough to keep them in this game and limit the Chargers from, you know, getting to 30 points or so. And the artist, does Russell teams ever stick to the run? Yeah, I don't know. It's just, let the guy cook, right? Certainly not letting him cook at all. But I think they have to run the ball today, right? Run the ball with all their backs, whatever. That's how you beat the Chargers. You run the rock, you keep Herbert off the field. That's it for tonight, football-wise. We're going to break hockey talk next here. Am the Artist. Hang tight. Welcome back. And before we get to the waiver wire stuff, I got a couple same game parlays here, boards I wanted to share with you guys. We're having a lot of success with this. It's been a hit or miss. These are really tough to hit. Let's show them, Tyler. There's one here that I really like at 3-1. I think it's a full unit on the left. And the other one I do like half a unit, but we hit a 45-1 on Thursday, same game parlay with just point totals. We had another Penguins one at 5-1, which is really just a lot what you saw on the left. You know, Crosby for a point, Gensel for a point, Letang for a point. We got Brian Rust for a point. I mean, guys, this is nothing has changed here with the Habs. Yeah, they beat the Leafs on opening night. The Leafs are overrated. The Habs are not great. They have a lot of holes defensively. They gave up 25 shots in the first period against the Red Wings on Friday. If it wasn't for Jake Allen, they would have lost like 7 or 8-0. And guess what? Jake Allen is not going to play tonight. He's away from the team, I think, for personal reasons. So the Penguins puck line, you're just not going to get it at plus money anymore. We have it in the bet tracker. Oh, wow, I lied. You can still get them a puck line to win by two at plus 105. I think they put 4 or 5 goals in easily tonight against the Habs. And then on the right, this is the longer shot here. The difference is you got Crosby for an assist, Letang for an assist. You still have Gensel, Rust for a point. I got Crosby for 3 shots and Jake Gensel for 4 shots. It's that top line of Pittsburgh. The Habs are going to have a lot of issues with that top line. Pittsburgh looks good to start the season, 2-0. They beat Tampa on home ice. This is, if you wanted to get nuts and you wanted to include a little bit more, you would include like a Malkin. I'd stay away from Raquel. I know he's playing 5-on-5 hockey with Crosby and Gensel, but he's not on that first unit. I would just take that first power play unit, which is exactly what that left ticket is, minus Evgeny Malkin. So a full unit on that 3-1. I like Crosby as a single at minus 112 for an assist. If you see him, for 2 points at plus money, absolutely jump on that. Jake Gensel as well is a guy that I think scores tonight, but there's also a lot of value for him to have 4 shots at plus 100, for him to have an assist over at DraftKings at plus 115, FanDuel and Caesars plus money as well for him to have an assist. If he jumped up to 1.5 points, you would see that at plus money as well. So I think it's Gensel and Crosby have big nights tonight. Other guys that I like here that we don't have a board for, but Matthew Tkachuk, he's hit in his first 2 games. I like Tkachuk. I like Rust overall as a single in terms of 2.5 shots. Gensel, you'll get plus money at 4. Crosby's a little bit juice, as you know, difference between this morning and talking to you guys now. He's a little bit juice, but I still like him to have 3 shots. But Brian Rust is at a pretty good price for 3 shots. Kyle Connor, 3.5 shots. The only Dallas guy I really like, I know there was some talk earlier about Rupe Hintz. I love Rupe Hintz, but he's just so many times he's stuck at 1 or 2. Like, he's really good. If you're taking one Dallas guy, it's Jason Robertson for me. I think Brock Besser and Anthony Mantha are in play. Mantha's a long shot guy at plus money. Matthews for an assist is plus money. Martin Natchez is plus money for a point. He's looked really good to start the season. I didn't see anything for him in a shot prop. If it's at 1.5, I would definitely take it. But he's plus 100 for just a point today. He's 2-1 for a goal. I like Oliver Bjorkstrand as well inside that same game. He's been shooting the puck at 2.5. I know we got burned by Brent Burns the other day, but he's another guy that just plays so much. He's getting a lot of shot attempts. I think it was the right call the other night. The shot attempts were still there. He had 13 shot attempts in his first game, and I think he had 8 in his second game, but he was stuck on 2. He had a few shots that were blocked, but he's just playing so much. And that's it. I think I mentioned Austin Matthews for an assist. There's just a lot of value on snipers for assists, which we've been hitting. Ovechkin plus money for an assist. He's in play tonight. You got Matthews plus money for an assist, David Pastrnak plus money for an assist. These shooters, there's a lot of value on some of those guys as well. Was there like a hockey question or two? Thoughts on Connor Garland over 2.5? I think I'd rather Brock Besser, but yeah, I'm okay with it. It's just Brock gets that top PP time, and I'm a big fan of that. But I'm all right with that. I don't hate it. Here's one. Barkov, Mika, Fiala over 2.5 shots, Kirill 3.5, Crosby, Ovechkin, Connor, and that's Sveshnikov, all for a point. Mitch for an assist, 9 legs. you're looking for a long shot. I really don't mind it. I would rather Tkachuk than Barkov. Mika and Kreider are fine. Fiala finally had 3 shots there the other night. And then, I'm not going to hate any of this other, like Crosby and Ovechkin and Connor and Vestnikov. They're juiced for a point, but that's fine. Even Marner, we had back-to-back days around, I think it was 1.5, or no, it was minus 115 for an assist. He's probably juiced for an assist today. Minus 170 is a bit much, but he's plus 135 for 2 points in a matchup against Arizona. I do like that. Can we throw up we'll break. I got waiver wire stuff for you, and we'll wrap up with one MLB pick. We'll be back in a couple. One guy I failed to mention, Arturi Lehkonen. Let's ride this out. The odds are going to change. Books will pick up on it soon. Again, he's been basically a point per game guy here, you know, dating back to the playoffs with the Avs. Plus 160 for an assist, minus 128 for a point. I mean, great value for a guy playing with Nathan MacKinnon. And the Minnesota Wild, they've looked awful defensively. They've given up a ton of goals. Fleury looks like he's 100 years old. Goal scores for tonight. Yes, Emmerich. I got Gensel, Crosby. I think both of those guys score. You can take a shot on Rust. You know, Pens are going to score 4 or 5 here tonight. William Nylander, Svechnikov, Adrian Kempe, and Valeri Nichushkin. Can we check up the board of all these teams playing 4 games this week? So we got this, which, you know, again, if you want to look at it larger, you can check out ftnfantasy.com. These are the teams playing 4 games for the week. Ducks, Bruins, Avs, Blue Jackets, Panthers, Kings, Islanders, Flyers, Sharks, Kraken, Canucks, and Jets. You want to be streaming guys from these teams. Absolutely. You know, shout out to Alexander Romanov with the Islanders if you're looking for hits and blocks. You know, great detail, you know, in the article. Krejci for the Bruins, Mace McTavish for the Ducks, Bjorkstrand for the Kraken. A lot of options there over at ftnfantasy.com, but maximize your moves. And then on the way out here, I like the Yankees. I like the Yankees today. I really hope Cleveland wins, but I like the Yankees. They're at home, and they're going to match up here against Savali. So if you have the prop board, Tyler, we'll check that up here on the way out. Savali, 5.88 ERA on the road. Not great. Opponents got a better average. Woba on base percentage, slug percentage against him. And lefties have crushed him. They have the higher line drive rate at 23%, fly ball rate at 42%, hard hit rate at 37%. And Rizzo against righties, 22 homers and 36 extra base hits. Against lefties, he only has 10 homers and 18 extra base hits. It's a little bit juice for one base. A single here is all we need. You can maybe take a shot, half a unit on maybe half a unit on total bases over 2 or over 1.5, and then maybe like 0.25 units on him to go yard, because Savali does have a high fly ball rate. So unfortunately, the Yanks are going to win. I know what you tried to do there, George, to jinx Rizzo. It's not going to happen. Rizzo's going to have a double. Maybe he has a bomb, and the Yankees are going to win the game, and they're going to lose to the Astros a little bit later on. Enjoy the football game tonight. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Cheers.